Well, summer seems like a great time to do a best of...
Why? It's a lie.
In another packed podgram, is MSG an evil ingredient that makes everyone sick and it's bad for you and it's terrible? Does this flavor enhancer as bad as the internet claims? Speaking of taste, remember that big chart of the tongue that shows where things are salty and things are bitter and some things are sweet? That must be true, right? It was in our classroom. And let's talk pirates. Did they make people walk the plank? Now, even though this episode is for everyone, it's still rated R. MSG, or monosodium glutamate, though there could be a few exceptions, MSG is... it's pretty safe. It's a natural substance found in things like mushrooms and tomatoes and potatoes. MSG is one of the most abundantly natural occurring non-essential amino acids. It was first made into a powder back in the early 1900s, about 1908, and sold in 1909, according to most reports, and it's defined as a flavor enhancer. It makes things more savory, you know, as opposed to sweeter, which sugar usually does. So what does MSG really do? Well, according to Wikipedia, MSG balances, blends, and rounds the total perception of other tastes. So is it dangerous? Well, if you're a rat and force-fed it until you die, yes. But they did those tests with salt as well, and those tests showed that rats are more sensitive to being force-fed salt than MSG. So scientists say that we have a very low toxicity. Now, wait a second. So people who didn't read that last sentence properly, they're going to say, so scientists say MSG can be toxic? No. The real conclusion is the intake of MSG is a food additive and the natural level of glutamic acid in foods do not represent a toxicological concern in humans. Still, because some people think you can't have too much of a good thing, some limits have been placed on how much MSG you can put in things over in Europe. Chinese restaurants get a bad rap for using MSG, prompting some to change their recipes and put no added MSG on their menus and signs. Now, the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe had an infographic on their Facebook page that discussed the Chinese restaurant syndrome, but, you know, many chefs from all kinds of restaurants add MSG as well, both naturally and in powder form. Wait, Jim, what do you mean by naturally? Well, it's also in, I think I mentioned this, tomatoes and potatoes and mushrooms. It's also in potato chips and other prepackaged foods, and that doesn't seem to have the same reaction. The only evidence for MSG causing harm appears to be anecdotal. Some people saying that it gives them heart palpitations and other side effects from headaches to exhaustion to making you sweat. Now, in studies where such individuals were giving MSG or a placebo, scientists have not been able to consistently trigger reactions. And this testing has been going on for decades. So, could it be a kind of power of suggestion? It's not proven either way. If you think that you are sensitive to MSG, by all means, talk to your doctor. Maybe you'll make history, or maybe it's something else in the food. Or maybe like me, when you eat Chinese food, you eat your face off, and that uncomfortable feeling is from stuffing your face too quickly with that Chinese food goodness. But really, talk to your doctor as opposed to some unqualified goof on the internet. And yes, I recognize I kind of fit into that category. But MSG, bad for everyone? No, that's why it's a lie. In accordance with all those charts we saw in school, different parts of the tongue are more sensitive to different tastes. The diagram I remember seeing as a kid showed that the front of the tongue was more sensitive to bitter tastes, and the sides to sweet, and the back to salty or sour or whatever you remember it saying. It's simply not true. The original tongue map was based on, now, seriously, get this, a Harvard psychologist's mistranslation of a German paper from 1901. And, well, people just believed it, I guess. Anyway, finally, someone said, hey, how did someone from 1901 know this? So they tested it. And not only does the tongue recognize all tastes from all over its surface, you can also taste things in other parts of your mouth, like your soft palate or your upper esophagus and epiglottis. Maybe that's why people do all that crazy stuff with wine, you know? Oh, here's a fun fact. The average life of a taste bud is 10 days. Oh, that was fun. Here's another fun fact. There are different types of taste buds. Yeah, some are mushroom-shaped like you would expect. Some are volcano-shaped. Some look like V-shaped cone creatures from the bottom of the ocean. Now, that is a personal description. Please check your sources for what they might actually look like. Anyway, the tongue map? That's why it's a lie. Finally, if a pirate wanted to get rid of you, he'd make you walk the plank. Well, we've seen it in TV and movie scenes where the captive is coaxed by sword point to walk the plank. It appears the practice was super common, but in reality, it just didn't happen very often. There are only 4 documented cases. Want to hear them? Sure. Okay. In 1769, mutineer George Wood confessed to his chaplain at Newgate Prison that he and his fellow mutineers had sent their officers to walk the plank. In July 1822, William Smith, captain of the British sloop Blessing, was forced to walk the plank by the Spanish pirate crew of the schooner Emmanuel in the West Indies. The Times reported on February 14, 1829, that the packet Redpole was captured by the pirate schooner President and it was sunk. The commander was shot and the crew was made to walk the plank. And also in 1829, pirates intercepted the Dutch brig Van Frederica in the Leeward Passage between the Virgin Islands and murdered most of the crew by making them walk the plank with cannonballs tied to their feet. So, if anything, it was a short-lived fad rather than a common practice. But it did happen. Walking the plank is in the movie for dramatic effect and often to give our heroes some way to escape. It makes you wonder, why would pirates go through all the trouble? Well, maybe because they're sadistic and horrible, but also they're lazy, right? So why wouldn't you just stab them or throw them overboard or both? And guess what? That's usually what happened. Oh, fun fact? Okay. The song, Sing a Song of Sixpence, was not Blackbeard's or any other pirate's recruiting song, in case you ever heard that one. Thanks for listening to
Why It's a Lie. Created by Jim and helped out by friends like me. I'm Mark. Please subscribe to Why It's a Lie on iTunes and leave awesome reviews. Thanks for listening.